All right, so we'll say, let's get started. So today's daf is Yud Ches. We're starting on Yud Ches Amud Beis de Mishnah. Masru Zikne Beis de Zikne Kuhunam. So Moshe, we spoke about yesterday how the Zikne Beis de would begin to go through with the Kohen, the Avoda, of on each of the 7 days. So now the Mishnah says that when the Zikne Beis de finished with him, they would go ahead and give him to the Zikne Kuhunam. What would the Zikne Kuna do with him? Ve'ha'aluhu beis avatinas. They would bring him up into the avatinas chamber. So also we already know from our Shkolim days that the avatinas family were the ones who were responsible for the ketores. So here you have the elders of the kohuna going over with him the maisa ketores, this ketores service. But before the Zikne Beis Din left, ve'hishpi'uhu v'niftiru v'holchu lahem. Before the Zikne Beis Din handed him over to the Zikne Kohuna, they would administer an oath to the Kohen Gadol. They would say to him, Ishe Kohen Gadol, Anu Shluchei Beis Din Ma'atu Shlucheinu. So, Mr. Kohen Gadol, we are the emissaries of the Beis Din, and you are our Shaliach, Ushliach Beis Din. So you are our Shaliach and the Shaliach of Beis Din. Mashbi'in Anu Alecha, we adjure you, we put an oath upon you. The Misha Shachan Shmo Bebayis Azeh. We make you swear by He whose name is on this home, Ayah Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shelo Tishana Davar Mikoma She'amar Lecha, that you will not change any part of the service from all that we have told you. So I'll say they make him take a shvua that he will do everything appropriately. We'll see exactly what they were concerned about. Hu Porishu Bocha. So the Kohen Gadol goes ahead and he leaves them and he cries. They Porishu Baruchim. Bochin, and they separate from him and they cry as well. If you take a look at Rashi says over here, Vehishbi uhu, Rashi says, Shalo yehe tzeduki, letakin mi bachut, ulahachnis bifnim kidarmina bigimara. So we will see later on that there was a major machlokus between the tzedukim and the prushim. Between the tzedukim were the ones who did not hold of Torah Shabbat Peh, and the prushim were the ones who did hold of Torah Shabbat Peh, in terms of the order of the ketores. The way we understand the ketores to work is that the Kohen goes ahead and applies the ketores onto the coals inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Tzedukim felt that the ketores had to be applied to the coals before entering in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So they would make the Kohen Gadol take a shvua that Lemaisi, he would do the ketores service correctly and not do it like the Tzedukim. So after he would take the shvua, afterwards he would cry, they would cry. Im Hayachacham, we'll explain this more in the Gemara. Im Hayachacham Dorish. So also going back to something we said in last Mishnah also, Kohen Gadol would not sleep the night of Yom Kippur. So how would he stay a week? If he was a Talmud Chacham, he would give a shir. And he was not of a Talmud Chacham to be able to give a shir. Then Talmidei Chacham darshan lefanav. Then other Talmidei Chachamim would give him a shir. V'im ragil likros, if he was able to read, meaning usually ragil likros means scripture, chumash. If he was able to go ahead and read, then the ma'aseh reads v'im lav, and if not, korin lefanav, they would read to him, ubamek korin lefanav, and if they would read to him, and we'll say again, this goes back to what we said yesterday about the first temple, second temple split, where you could have Kohen and Gedolim who did not know really how to learn. So what would they read before? Makorin lefanav, be'io, Ube Ezra, Ube Divra Hayom. So also, these are all things with exciting stories. Eov, of course, has a different kind of excitement, a more tragic excitement. But Ezra, Divra Hayomim, Zechariah ben Kavutal said, Pamim harbe karisi lefana bedonion. So Zechariah ben Kavutal says, there were many times where I would read the Kohen Gadol from Sefer Daniel. Of course, Sefer Daniel has all of these magnificent visions about the Sefer, many of them are messianically related as well. Top of your test. Tana, lelamdo chafina. So the Gemara says, why is it that they would take the Kohen Gadol to the Beis Avatinas to teach in the process of chafina? Now I will say, just quickly, because the Gemara is going to spend much more time on this later on, but just to orient you a little bit with what we're discussing over here, the way it worked with the Ketores is a very complicated service in the Beis HaMikdash. What would happen is, the Kohen Gadol would go ahead and take in two things. He would take in a fire pan with coals and a little ladle, or now a ladle with ketores. And he would carry both of those into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. When in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, what he had to be able to do was to empty the contents of the ladle into his hands, without dropping anything, and then putting that onto the fire pan of the coals. So if you could imagine walking in, holding two things, and then somehow being able to go ahead and get the ketores from the ladle into your hands without dropping anything and then putting it onto the fire pan is a real is a complicated process. The Gemara is actually going to describe how we actually did that. But that's what they were doing in the Avatinus chamber. They were teaching the Ketorah service. Amra Papa, Shtei Lishkos HaYilu Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol actually had two chambers in the temple compound. Lishkas Pa'achas, Lishkas Parhedrin, V'achas Lishkas Beis Avatinus. One was the Parhedrin chamber, and one was the Avatin, the Lishkas Beis Avatinus. Achas B'tzofon, V'achas B'dorom. One was in the north side, one was in the south side. Achas B'tzofon, how do we know that one was on the north side? So the Gemara now is going to go through another in-depth discussion about the layout of the Beis HaMikdash. Disnan, Vav Lishkos Hayu Ba'azor. There were six chambers in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Gimel B'tzofon, V'gimel B'dorom. Three in the north, three in the south. Shebedorom, Lishkas HaMelach, Lishkas HaParva, Lishkas HaMadichin. In the south side, there was the chamber of salt, the chamber of parva, and the chamber of madichi. What does that mean? Lishkas hamelech, why do they call it the chamber of salt? Shesham hayu nosim melech lekarbon. Remember, every carbon requires melech, right? Every carbon requires salt. So where do they keep all the salt? In the salt chamber, lishkas haparva. What do they do in lishkas haparva? Shesham hayu molchin oros kodshim. That's where they would salt the hides of sacrificial animals. Va'al gago, and on top of the Lishkas HaParva, there was a mikvah. The Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim. And on top of the Beis HaParva, Lishkas HaParva, there was a mikvah that was used by the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Again, we'll discuss that mikvah later on. Lishkas HaMadichin. What are they doing? Lishkas HaMadichin. Madichin literally means cleaning. So the Gemara says, Sham Hayu Madichin Kirvei Kodshei Kadoshim. That's what we'll say. Remember, there are certain animals that have to have their intestines and other parts offered up on the Mizbeach. So they cleaned out the intestines before offering it up on the Mizbeach. So this was the chamber in which they did that. Umisham nesiba ola legag beis haparva. And from there was a winding staircase that went up to the rooftop of the beis haparva, which we'll say also led back up to that mikvah. Gimel shebet safon. There are three chambers in the north. Lishkas ha'itz, lishkas ha'gola, lishkas ha'gozis. The chambers, lishkas ha'itz, what's the chamber of wood? So Amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, shachachti ma'haisa mishameshes. So this is actually very interesting. If you remember, again, we established 2 days ago, that, remember, is important, that Stam Mishnayis in Meseches Midos are reflective of whose opinion? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So remember, so what's fascinating over here is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, I don't really remember what exactly the Lishkas Ha'itz was used for. Now, the Rosh comments on this, and the Rosh says, I'll tell you what the Lishkas Ha'itz was. This was the chamber in which they used to go ahead and keep the wood for the Mizbeach. For the Mizbeach, Rabbi said, this is different than Lishkas Ha'itzim. Lishkas, remember, yesterday we spoke about other chambers. One of them was the Lishkas Ha'itz, and that's where they used to deworm the wood. This could be, says Rush, possibly where they would store some of the wood for immediate use on the Mizbeach itself. Okay? Abishol Omer, Lishkas Kohen Gadol Haisa Achorei Shtehen. There was a chamber of the Kohen Gadol that was behind both of them. So remember now, what the Gemara is pointing out over here is, this is on the north side. So Abishol says that there was a chamber for the Kohen Gadol behind both of those chambers. So now we've just established that there was a chamber of the Kohen Gadol on the north side. Acharei shtehen, v'gag shloshtan shava. And the rooftops of all three chambers were equal. Lishkas ha'gola, what's the chamber of the gola? Sham hayabor ha'gola. So interestingly enough, apparently Rashi points out over here, if you look at Rashi, Lishkas ha'gola, ashem bor shekaru sham oligola. So apparently in this chamber, there was a well that was dug by the Jews who originally came back to rebuild the second temple. So this was considered to be like a landmark. But again, they used it. But this was a special well that was built by those who came back to go build the second temple. Va'galgal nosun alav. And there was a wheel, some type of pulley system right next to it. U'misham maspikimayim l'chol ha'azara. And that's where they drew the water for all Beis HaMikdash operations. Lishkas Hagozis. What happened to Lishkas Hagozis? Lishkas Hagozis literally means the chamber of hewn stone. Sham Haya Sanhedrin Shayisol Yosheves Vit Shayosheves. That's where the Sanhedrin would sit. And what would the Sanhedrin do? So the Sanhedrin, of course, we know, adjudicated capital cases. You can't decide capital cases outside of the Sanhedrin. So, but what else? What would they do on a day-to-day basis? This is quite interesting. V'donas ha-kohanim. The Sanhedrin spent most of its time judging the Kohanim. Now, what does it mean, judging the Kohanim? So judging the Kohanim means judging the pedigree of the Kohanim. You know, often, so I'll say today, so a guy shows up in shul, so Chaim will ask him, Kohen Levi Yisrael, right? He says, Kohen. And what's the follow-up process on that? Right? Yeah, nothing. Right? Yamod, right? Hey, let me see, right? There's no papers. There's no, you know, could I get, you have your Yichosan, you can see a family tree. So, and the truth is, we know that when Mashiach comes, many people who think they are Kohanim are not going to be Kohanim. That we know with absolute certainty. Because again, just like there are many people who don't know they're Kohanim, who will become Kohanim. Because just over the years, just like there are people, well, so I was going to say, the Gemara talks about Mamzerus, that there are people who are Mamzerim who don't know they're Mamzerim. There are also people who are Mamzerim who know they're Mamzerim. There are people who don't know their mamzerim, but we know their mamzerim. But there's a whole different groupings. It's actually interestingly enough, the Gemara says one of the things that Mashiach is not going to shed light on is mamzerus. The Gemara says mishpachos shenitmu nitmu, not nitmu with an aleph, not tami with an aleph, but with an ayin. Literally, families that have been obscured. That we will not reveal negative pedigrees in the days of Mashiach, but we will make sure to reset the familial lines of the Kohanim and Levim. So what would happen over here, when you showed up at the Beis HaMikdash and you said, you know, hi, Aaron HaKohen showing up for service, Sanhedrin said, very nice, come sit down, and they would investigate every single Kohen's Yichus. Obviously, you don't have to ask everybody, if I'm already an established Kohen and I have a son, obviously my child doesn't have to go through the entire investigative process. But at some point in time, you have to go ahead and investigate everybody. So the Sanhedrin was occupied with this. So this is fascinating. V'donas ha-kohanim. Omishanim sabo psul. Somebody who they found the psul. I will say the psul over here means a psul in his pedigree. It turns out that his yichus is not solid, and therefore he can't serve as a Kohen. Hayalovesh shchorim. He would put on black clothing, umisatev shchorim, and he would wrap himself in black garments, the yatza vaholichlo, and he would leave the temple compound. So literally, it was mourning, because you could imagine for a Kohen, we don't appreciate this much, but in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that Beis HaMikdash service is the entire essence of a Kohen. That's what a Kohen does. So to then find out that now he's disqualified, he can't do it, was a terrible blow to him. I'm sorry. That girl has a shawl. Nobody should have to do that. So he goes on. He says, what happens? V'shlo nimtza b'psul, but a coin who they did not find the psul for him. Hayalovish levanim, he would put on white clothing. Umes atev levanim, and he would wrap himself in white garments. V'nichnas umeshamish imecha b'kohanim. And he would then go in, and he would serve with his fellow kohanim. But what comes out from this whole braisa? What comes out from this whole braisa is that the braisa, or the Mishnah, said that there was a lishka for the coin gadol on the north side. So, okay, so remember how this whole discussion started. The Gemara just pointed out that there were two chambers that the Kohen Gadol used, one on the north side, one on the south side. All we're trying to prove is that those directional statements are correct. So we've just proven from this braisa that there was a lishka, there was a chamber for the Kohen Gadol on the north side of the temple compound. Fine. Achos bedarom. And there was also one chamber on the south side for the Kohen Gadol. This nan, shiva sha'arim hayuba azara. There were seven gates that led into the temple compound, led into the courtyard. Gimel b'tzafon v'gimel b'daron. Three on the north, three on the south. Ve'echad b'mizrach. And one in the east. Shebedaron, what were the gates on the south side? Shar hadlaka, literally the kindling gate. Sheni lo shar hakarbon. This next one next to it was the gate of the carbon. Now it's interesting, if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, Shar hadlaka shar hakarbon, lo yadati lama nikra shmam kach. I don't know why these gates are named this way. So again, the Rush points out, interestingly enough, that the shar hadlaka was called the shar hadlaka. Why? That's where they would bring in the wood. They would bring in the wood that was dedicated for the Mizbeach through that gate. That's how they called it, the Shara, the kindling. And Shara Karbon, the Rush says, could very well be the gate that they would bring in Karbonos through that gate as well. Okay, Shlishilo, the third gate next, that was Shara Mayim, was the water gate. I will say that one we know because that was the gate through which they brought the water for the Nisuch HaMayim, the water libation service on Sukkis. Sheba Mizrach, what was the gate on the east? Shar Nicanor. We will learn about Nicanor. Nicanor was a very unique individual who donated beautiful, beautiful large doors to the Beis HaMikdash. We'll discuss his story and why the gate is named after him. So on the east is Shar Nicanor. Ushtei Lishkos Hayasham. Achas Bimino VaAchas B'Sol. There were two small chambers on the sides of Shar Nicanor, one to the right, one to the left. Achas Lishkas Pinchas HaMalabish. One was called the chamber of Pinchas, the dresser. Now, what that means is Pinchas was responsible for dressing the Kohanim. I don't recall, what's interesting about the Kohanic vestments is they're not so posh to put on yourself. You need a little bit of help with this. So apparently Pinchas was the first person to occupy this position, and he would do it in a particular chamber, and therefore the chamber was named after him. V'achas lishkas osei chavitin. And one was the chamber of those who make the chavitin. The chavitin, remember, is a type of karban mincha that was offered by the Kohen Gadol every day. And the truth is, was also offered by every single Kohen on the first day that he served in the Beis HaMikdash. Shebet Safon, in the north. Shar Nitzotz. There was the Nitzotz literally means like a spark or a ray. So it was the gate of the spark gate. Binyan Achsadra Haya. It had an extension built in front of it. Va'aliyah benuya lo al gabav, and there was a second story on top of it. B'sham kohanim shomer milamalo uleviim milamata. So also, what's interesting is the following. Apparently, by this shar nitzotz, by this spark gate, so it had a little bit of an entranceway into it, and it had a second story on top of it as well. So what would happen? So there is a mitzvah, and we'll get into this later on in the Gemara as well, to stand guard at the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, what does that mean? There's an honor guard at the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be representative of the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The house of any nobility always has some type of honor guard there, and therefore the Kohanim and Levim served as the honor guard of the Beis HaMikdash. They took shifts. So the Gemara says that they apparently would stand guard, quote-unquote, by this Shar Nitzutz. The Kohanim would stand in the what we call the Aliyah in the upper story, and the Levim below. Now the Bach changes this next phrase to Upesach Haya Lo Lechel, and it had he changes it to, and it opened up into the chel. We also remember we already spoke about the chel previously. The chel is that area between the walls of the Beis HaMikdash and the Sarug and that fence. So this would open up into the chel. And what happened? Hasheni lo, the next gate, Shar HaKarban, was the gate of the Karban. Shlishi lo, the third gate, was Shar Beis HaMokad, was the literally the gate of the fire chamber. V'tanya, Chamish Tevilos V'asara Kiddushin, Tovel Kohen Gadol Mekadesh Bo Bayom. The Kohen Gadol, over the course of Yom Kippur, went to the mikvah five times, and Asara Kiddushin, Kiddushin is a washing of hands and feet. He washed his hands and feet a total of 10 times over the course of Yom Kippur. And they were all done on the rooftop mikvah of the Beis HaParva, which we spoke about before. Chutz mizo, with the exception of the first immersion, Shahai Sabachol, Al Gabi Sharamayim, that was done in the unconsecrated part of the Beis HaMikdash, on top of the water gate. Ubisad lishkaso haisa. And this mikvah was in fact on the side of his chamber. So we'll say now that we identify this mikvah on the side of the Kohen Gadol's chamber, what do you see from here? That the Kohen Gadol had a chamber on the south side as well. So we've quoted all of this information just to establish two basic facts. That the Kohen Gadol had two chambers for his own use in the temple compound. One was on the north side, one was on the south side. Velo yidana Lishkas Parhedrin B'Tzafon V'Lishkas Beis Avatinas B'Darom O Lishkas Beis Avatinas B'Tzafon V'Lishkas Parhedrin B'Darom. But the one thing I'm not sure about is which one is which. So I know he has two chambers. I know one is on the right, one is in the north, one is in the south. I know one is called Lishkas Parhedrin, one is called Lishkas Beis Avatinas, but I don't know which one is in which direction. The Gemara says, Umistabra, but it would appear to be clear, the Lishkas Parhedrin Medarom, that the Lishkas Parhedrin, which Rabbi said is the primary residence of the Kohen Gadol, especially during the 7 days of sequestration separation, was on the south side. Why does that become clear? This is very interesting. My time, listen to this, and what's interesting about this is the Gemara gives us the daily schedule of the Kohen Gadol during the 7 days of sequestration and preparation. My time, Maktim Koi Umesich Esraglov. Because what would happen? First thing that would happen is Kohen Gadol would wake up. What would he do first thing in the morning? He would Mesach Esraglov literally means he'd go to the bathroom. Good. Also, you'll say to yourself, come on, really, we don't have to be that intrusive into the life of the Kohen Gadol. And the answer is, yes, we do. Because what the Gemara is trying to show us, we'll get into more depth with this later, is every moment of the Kohen Gadol's day was regulated. From the moment he woke up to the moment he went to sleep. And we'll see there was a reason for that. So he wake up in the morning, first thing, he goes to the bathroom. Mesach Esraglov. Mesach Esraglov literally means he covers his feet, which is just a euphemism for going to the bathroom. V'tavil. After that, what does he do first thing in the morning? He goes to the mikvah. V'azil letzafon. Then he walks over to the north side. V'gamar chafina. And he would learn the process of chafina. What's chafina? That's the ketores. Remember, chafina literally means that's the act of pouring from the ladle into his hands, from the ketores. That we spoke about that earlier. He would go from there. So now he went to the north side. After the north side, va'asila beis hamikdash, it goes to the beis hamikdash proper, which means the kodesh. Va'avid avoda kula yoma, and he'd do the avoda the entire day. Le'bahade panya, in the evening, madu ale. So also remember, this is issue because this ties to a lot of things we learned before. They would sprinkle on him. What would they sprinkle on him? The ashes of the paraduma. Now again, what's fascinating about this? You notice the timeline. When are they sprinkling it on him?
Night.
Right, night. Why? Why? Because if they would have done it in the morning, then what? That would have precluded him from doing the avod. Remember, we had this discussion earlier. So they only sprinkle on him that night. That night. Vahadil, after that, Vahadar azil daram. He goes back to the south side. Vitavil, and he goes to the mikvah again. Vinayach, and he goes to sleep. So I'll say what this seems to indicate is what? Is that where is the Lishkas Barhedrin? It's on the south side. It's on the south side. Because remember, the process over here is going back to the mikvah, and then he goes to his apartment, which indicates that his apartment is right by the mikvah, which is on the south side. So the Gemara says, Di'i amrit lishkas barhejim mitzafon, maktim koi umesich. So I'll say this, because if you say lishkas barhejim is on the north side, then the entire day looks different. What's going to happen? Maktim koi, that means he gets up in the morning, Mesach Raglav, he goes to the bathroom. The Azil Dram, he has to walk to the south side. Because remember, we'll say the mikvah that was used by the Kohen Gadol was on the south side. Go to the mikvah. Learn Chafina. Go ahead and learn the Ketores. V'asi the Beis HaMikdash. Spend the day in the Beis HaMikdash. V'avad avod, the Kula Yom. Right? L'hadei Panya, in the evening. Madwale, they'll sprinkle the ash to Paradumanim. V'ahadar Azil Dram, then he's going to have to go back to the south side. Tavil, go to the mikvah. And then he has to walk back to the north side to go ahead and go back to sleep. So the Gemara says, "Umi tarach matrechina lekuli hay." Would we make the Kohen Gadol go back and forth so much? So it must be that the Lishkas Parhedrin was on the same side as the mikvah, because then what does that allow him to do? That allows him essentially to go to the mikvah and then what? Be done for the day. But if you say that the Lishkas Parhedrin was on the north side. Then the Maisa, what that would mean is, he's got to go to the mikvah and then walk back. Again, I'll say, it's not the biggest deal, but it's a to-do to keep going back and forth. So the Gemara says, it can't be that we would be matriach the Kohen Gadol to such an extent to make him go back and forth like that. So the Gemara said, listen to this. Alam alo, why not? Who says that we're not matriach the Kohen Gadol? Listen to this. So alam alo, matriachin le tvei. No, maybe we dafka make this very difficult for him. Why? The itzadukihu lifrosh, because you know what I'll say. You know what the best way to weed out those who are sincere versus those who are not? Make it a real pain, right? Make it really, really annoying and not convenient at all. So you know, if the guy is a tzaduki, now there's only one reason. The truth is why the tzaduki will see really ever wanted to be the Kohen Gadol, and that was to assert their own agenda. We'll see this actually in Amud Beis. They just wanted to be able to do the avodah. So the truth is, you know, agendas are important. But most people are not that principled. If my principles become a little bit too overbearing, many people abandon those principles, and therefore, again, if he's a tzaduki, he's going to walk. Inam, the other possibility is, shalot tazuach dato. So this is quite amazing. You know what? It keeps the Kohen Gadol humble. The Kohen Gadol could easily become arrogant and a little bit carried away with himself, because after all, listen to this. For 7 days, look at all of the attention he's getting, right? The Zakenim of the Sanhedrin, the Zakenim of the Kohen, everybody is doting on him hand and foot. So you know what we do? We make him schlep a little bit. You think you're so important. There's no golf cart, by the way, in the Beis HaMikdash either, right? Everything is by foot. So you know what? don't get too carried away from yourself. You still got to schlep all over the place to take care of everything. So the Gemara says, because if you don't say this, then why not just go ahead and make both of the chambers? Why not go ahead and make both of the chambers together and be done with this? Inami, or for that matter, why do you need two chambers at all? Just let him use one chamber. So what the Gemara seems to, just the way the Gemara ends up over here is, the Gemara cannot prove conclusively that the Lishkas Parhedrin was on the south side. Because essentially what the Gemara wanted to say is the way we can prove Lishkas Parhedrin is on the south side is by convenience. That would be the most convenient setup. The Gemara says, okay, but who says convenience is actually a factor? So the Gemara goes weiter. So remember, going back to the Mishnah, so the elders, this is the Ziknei Beis Din, said to the Kohen Gadol, you are our Shaliach, and the Shaliach of, Klai Yisrael, Anu Shluchei Beis Din, Va'ato Shlucheinu Shliach Beis Din. So they said to him, we are the agents of the Beis Din, and you are our agents, and the agents of the Beis Din as well. And of course, again, agents of the Beis Din in this context also means agents of the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, Lema Tehevei Tiyuv, to the Rafuna Bar Yidrav Yoshua. This Mishnah should be a refutation of the position of Rafuna Bar Yidrav Yoshua. Why? Dom Rafuna Bar Yidrav Yoshua, Hani Kohani Shluchei Derachmona Ninu. Because we'll say, Rafuna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua says that the Kohanim are the agents of God. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, last Rashi in the Rashi is Hani Kohani. There's a fundamental machlokes. Rashi says, "Bahakravas Krabanosov Shluchei Derachmana Ninhu Vilo Shlucheinu." But I will say, there's a fundamental machlokes. Who do the Kohanim work for? Whose interests are the Kohanim representing in the Beis Hamikdash? Are the Kohanim the Shluchim, the agents of the Jewish people, or are the Kohanim the Shluchim, the agents of Hakadosh Baruch Hu? So you'll say to yourself, who cares? Who cares? So interesting enough, there is an interesting nafkamina. Let's say again, I get into a fight with Aaron HaKohen, and what happens? I say, I vow that I will not get any benefit from Aaron HaKohen. So the question is, what do I do about the avoda that he does in the Beis HaMikdash? So it depends. If we say that the Kohanim are our agents, the agents of Klal Yisrael, then I'd have a real problem if I made a neder prohibiting myself from getting any kind of benefits from him. However, if they work for God, then Lemaise again, they're not representing. He's not my agent at all. If he's not my agent at all, my neder has absolutely no impact. So the Gemara says over here, what do the Ziknei Beis Din say to the Kohen Gadol? Although they say to him, you are our agent. So the Gemara says, oh, this Mishnah therefore is a refutation to Rav Huna Brid Rav Yoshua, who says that the Kohanim are the agents of God. Now, why does Rav Yoshua say that? The Amit Shluchei Didanin, because Rav Yoshua will say, if you really think that the Kohanim are our agents, Mi'ika Midi Da'anon Lomatzin Lame'avet. The Shluchei Didon Matsu Avdi. So also what's interesting is the following. The reason why Rav Huna Brid Rav Yoshua says that the Kohanim must be the agents of God and are not Klal Yisrael agents is for a very simple reason. In general, in order to go ahead and create the situation of Shlichos, what has to happen? The Mishaleach and the Shaleach have to be on the same side. I could only go ahead and appoint the Shaleach to do something that I myself can do. Says Rav Huna Brid Rav Yoshua, since I cannot do the Avoda, no matter how much I wish I could, Lemaisa, at the end of the day, what does that show? That the Kohanim can't appoint the Shaleach to do something that I can't do myself. So therefore, the Gemara says, but nevertheless, it would appear, that's Rav Huna Brid Rav Yoshua's logic. We can't say the Kohanim are my agents because you can't create an agency for something that the principal himself can't do. Therefore, the only choice is that the Kohanim are the agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our Mishnah, therefore, seems to refute that position because the Ziknei Beis Din say to the Kohen Gadol, you are our agent. To which the Gemara says, no. The truth is, our Mishnah does not get involved in this machlokes at all. Rather, because how do you understand our Mishnah? Hachi Kamri Leh, this is what they're saying to him. Mashbien Anu Alecho, Al datinu vi al das bezdin. When we say to him, when the Ziknei Beis Din say to the Kohen Gadol, you are our shaliach, they're not literally saying you're our agent. What they're saying is, you are the extension of us. Legabe what? Legabe the shvua. That when you take the shvua to do the avoda correctly, whose definition of correctly are you swearing about? Not yours, but ours. So legabe the shvua, legabe the oath, You are our agent, and that you are an extension of the truth that we represent. Look at Rashi. They're not literally saying that he is their shaliach. by the avoda. Elo ve'inyan kabbalas shvua. Rather, it means the oath. Kilomar lo lefi machshava shebeli becha im basal laharim bekabbalas shvua anamashpien osach oscha lefi datin v'das beizdin. We're not adjuring you based on what you feel to be the truth, but rather what? Based on what we feel to be the truth. Therefore, all the Gemara is answering is, our Mishnah does not have to step into the discussion about who exactly the Kohen Gadol represents in his avoda. Fine. Says the Gemara weiter. Who pori shubocha, vein pori shubocha. So remember, after this, everybody's crying. After the Shavua, everybody begins to cry. Who porish ubocha shechad shuhu tzeduki. So what happens? The Kohen Gadol cries. Why? Because obviously Allah said the only reason they're making him take this shvua is why? Because he's a tzeduki. Because the assumption is what? That if the Kohen Gadol, was a tzeduki, hopefully, even a tzeduki respects the power of a shvua. Although again, what's interesting is, if you're a tzeduki, we're not going to get into this, but it's just fascinating to contemplate. If you're a tzeduki, then the shvua, the truth, is meaningless. Why? Because lemaisa, again, it's just like, what happens if you take a shvua not to put on tefillin? So what's the status of that shvua? Nothing. It's void, because you can't controvert something that the Torah says. So if you're a tzeduki and you think that the Torah says X, taking a shvua to the contrary is going to be meaningless. But I don't know if it's necessarily as much about the shvua itself as it is about the impact of the shvua. So here he cries because obviously the only reason they're administering the shvua is because he's a tzeduki, but they have to cover their bases. They have to at least plan for the possibility that the Kohen Gadol is a tzeduki, and therefore they have to administer the shvua. The hain parshin ubochin, and why do the zikne beizdin cry? This is supposed to be very profound. Don't Yoshua ben Levi, kala choshid b'ksherim lo kebagufo. Because anyone who's choshid b'ksherim, anyone who suspects kasher people of doing bad things, lo kebagufo, is physically afflicted with harm. Now, interestingly enough, Rashi points out over here, where do we know this from? We know this from Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi says, choshid b'ksherim lo kebagufo, t'chsiv hein lo ya'aminu li, uksiv hine yado mitzoras kishelek. This is by the Sneh. When Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're not going to believe me when I come to them with the message of redemption. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, put your hand by chaykecha, by your chest. Moshe Rabbeinu takes it out, and it's mitzoraas kashalek. It's stricken with tzaraas. And Rashi HaKadosh quotes the Gemara that understands that God was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you're being stricken with tzaraas because you just spoke Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. So you see from here that somebody who's choshed b'ksherim is loke b'gufo, is physically. So he cries, going out the cries, because obviously, he's not beyond suspicion. They cry because they know deep down he's kosher, but they rechoshed him nevertheless. V'kol kach lama. And what is this all about? Meaning, what are we concerned he's going to do? Shelo yitakin mibachutz v'yichani ster shatzdukin osim. Because I will say, what are we concerned about? The fundamental machlokes in the tzdukim and the prushim when it came to the service of Yom Kippur was centered around the ketores. The tzedukim felt that what you do is you go ahead and you do the ketores service outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and walk in under the cloud of the ketores. The whole idea is the pasuk says ki be'anan. Va'ayavo b'chol eis el hakodesh ki ba'anan ashana ketores. So the Torah says you can only come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the ketores. So the shayla is how to understand that pasuk. So we understand based on Torah Shabbat that what that means is he brings the coals, he brings the ketores, and he does bless you, and he does the ketores inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The tzedukim who are literalists understood that no, the ketores is done outside, and then what? You walk in with the ketores, with the cloud of the ketores. So the Gemara says, so therefore the whole Shavua was to prevent the Kohen Gadol from doing this. Tan Rabbanon, ma'asa b'tzeduki echad, shehiskin mibachutz v'hechnis. So what happens? The Gemara says once, there was a Kohen Gadol who was really a tzeduki. And what happened? He literally did the ketores service differently than what did he do? He put the ketores on the coals outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and walked into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the coals. And what happened? B'yitzi'aso haya sameach simcha gidola. See, he was very happy. Well, so you have to understand something. So a tzeduki, they were from tzedukim.
So what does it mean, Afrun Tzaduki? He believes his shita. He's wrong. He's dead wrong. Quite literally dead wrong, as we're going to see in a little bit. But Lemaisa, again, but Lemaisa, he believes that what he's doing is correct. So this Tzaduki, Afrun Tzaduki, Mamish, comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he's smiling eye to eye. Why? Because he just did the avoda in conformance with the way he believes his philosophy dictates that's supposed to happen. So listen, this is an amazing story. Pogobo Aviv. See, he ran into his father. And he tells his father, "Dad, you're going to be so proud of me. I did the avoda just like we believe. I offered the ketoros outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and walked in with the cloud of the ketoros." So listen to what the father says. Amar lo b'ni, af al pi shetzedukin anu, mesya'arin anu min aprushim. So he says, "My son, even though we are tzedukim, literally we are afraid of the perushim." I will say, what does it mean we're afraid of the perushim? That's us, right? Those who believe in Torah Shebaal Peh as well. So we'll say, what does this mean? So this is quite interesting. What the father is saying, one of two things. Either he's saying if the Prussian find out, they could kill you. Yes, possibility one. Or I think what the father is saying is something very profound. That even people who have a particular shita, deep down, they know what's right and they know what's wrong. So it's one thing to philosophize. So yes, we are tzedukim. But my son, this is Yom Kippur. This is the avoda. I would have never advised you to actually go ahead and do this. It's so fascinating. So the son thinks that Mamish, he's proud because, "Dad, I've taken everything that you've taught me and I've actualized it." And the father essentially says, "What did you do? What did you do?" So Amarlo, where the son says, "Kol yamai hayisi mitstare ala mikra hazeh." So the son says to his father, "All of my days, I was always bothered by this pasuk. Ki be'anan Eirael ala kapar." So I'll say this is the pasuk that which says the machlokes in the tzedukim and perushim. So the tzedukim understand ki ba'anan. The anan over here refers to the anana kitores, refers to the cloud of the kitores. So the way the tzedukim understand this pasuk is that with the cloud of the kitores, I will come to the kapores, which means that you have to first do the kitores and then enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim under the cloud of the kitores. The Prushim understand it, of course, differently. They know ki bano era kapores, that when you come and you appear to the kapores, which is the little of the Aron, that's when you must do the ketores service. So Amarti, the son, this is the Kohen Gadol just came out, said, "Amarti, my father, I said, Masa yavo liyodi vekaimena, when will I have the opportunity to truly fulfill this verse?" And what happened? Achshav shebali yadi lo akaimena. And now, father, now that I have the opportunity, so I'm not going to do it, right? I'm not going to do it. Amru, they said, lo hayu yamim mo'atim ad shemes. It was only a matter of days until the son, the Kohen Gadol, was found dead. Vehutal ba'ashpa, and his body was found in the garbage heap. Vahayu toloin yotzi mechot mo, and there were worms coming out of his nose. And I will say, why worms coming out of his nose? So Rashi points out over here, shuhurishon le'evarim, because if you think about it, when you walk in somewhere, the first part of your body to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim is your nose. So the first part that entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim was, also might be a simpler idea, which is, since this is all about the ketores, and ketores associated with smell, so therefore again, it's mita k'neged mita, comes to the worms coming out of his nose. Yeah, 100%. V'yesh, I mean, there are others who say, no, it wasn't a few days later. B'yitziyaso nigav. He died right when he emerged from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Tani Rabbi Chiya, kemin kol nishma ba'azara. On that day when he went in, there was a sound, there was a lot of noise heard in the Beis HaMikdash. Sheba malach v'chavto apanav. A malach came literally and kicked him in the face. Kicked the Kohen Gadol, meaning killed, the malach came and killed the Kohen Gadol. V'nichnesu echav ha-kohanim. The other kohanim ran in when they heard the commotion. U'matzu kaf regel, egel ben k'seifav. They found... literally a round footprint between his shoulders. Shene emar v'raglehem regel yishara v'kaf regleim k'kaf regel egel. So the pasuk over here says The pasuk over here says this is in Yechezkel. Literally, their feet, their legs are like a straight leg. The kaf raglayim, but the heel of their foot, kikaf regel egel, is like a rounded footprint. So what happened? So again, two different versions. Either way, he died. He died. One is that he just suffered a very disparaging death. A couple of days later, his body was thrown in the garbage heap, worms coming out of his nose. Or second possibility is that no, he was mamish killed by a malach. Actually, when he emerged from the Beis Hamikdash. Amrab Zechariah ben Kavuta. Say it's also just a fascinating idea in terms of, is a major chinuch lesson contained in this as well, that sometimes parents don't realize that they give their children certain lessons that the parents realize are wrong, that the parents would never act on, but don't realize that when a parent gives something over to a child, that becomes the Torah of the child. So often, parents do this very often, not in an overt way, but a more nuanced way, where a parent will teach a child certain things by their behaviors, by what they do, by how they talk. And then one day the parent sees the child is doing this stuff and the parent is outraged. How can you be doing this? This is wrong. And the kid says, Dad, what are you talking about? This is what you taught me. This was the Torah you gave me. Because as adults, we all live with a little bit of a disconnect of what we believe in, what we do. Children don't necessarily have that same disconnect. They assume that what you do is correct. It's just an incredible thing. Here you have this dialogue between the tzaduki and his father. And he says, Dad, you should be so proud of me. And the father said, What did you do? So this is what, see, you have to be so careful, not just in terms of what you say to your children, but the actual ideas and ideals that you model. Because even if you think, well, I'm an adult, I have a little bit room for a disconnect in my life, just know, whatever you do, your kids are going to take that as Torah min hashamayim. And if it's wrong, just know they're going to grow up with wrong ideals. And those ideals are going to be the ones that they act on. And when they do that, a parent can't be surprised if they were modeling the wrong behavior all of those years and the child chose to adopt that as their Torah misina. Just incredible is chayvus in terms of what we model for our children. Rabbi Zechariah ben Kavuto said, I used to read before the Kohen Gadol, and I read to him from Daniel. So Gemara says, Masni l'Rav Chanan barav alechia barav kamei d'rav. I'm Rabbi Zechariah ben Kavuto. So Rabbi says, it's interesting. So what happened when Rav Chanan barava came and taught this in front of Rav, he quoted it as Zechariah ben Kavutal instead of Zechariah ben Kavutal. Umach vilei Rav biyadei Kavutal. And Rav apparently gave him a sign, not a fey, but a vase. But a vase. So the Gemara says, Venemale, so why doesn't Rav just say them Kavutal? Why does he have to make a remez? Why does he have to charade it out? So the Gemara says, Kriyashma Havakari. Rav was saying Kriyashma. That's why he couldn't speak. He couldn't say kavutal. Instead, what he did is he just made a vase and said not a fey. So the Gemara said, "V'chiyah gavni mishar." But if Rav is saying kriyashma, would it be permitted for him to go ahead and engage in the game of shrei? Zon Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marto, hakori eshma lo yirmos bein of lo yikros b'sif sosa. Rav said, when a person says shma, he cannot do remiza. He can't motion with his eyes, nor can yikros b'sivasa means he can't mouth the things. You can't mouth things, and you can't make remiza. You can't make gestures with your eyes. Nor can you make finger motions. The Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Chasmomer, Hakori Yishma Merames Be'in of Makaris B'Sif Sosav. And furthermore, Rabbi Elazar ben Chasmomer says, when you read Shema, if you signal with your eyes, or mouth certain things, or motion with your finger, Alava Kasav Omer, about you, the Pasuk says, Velo Osi Karasa Yaakov. You are not speaking to me, Yaakov. God essentially says, then this means you're not talking to me, you're talking to your friend. Lo Kasha. So also I say, how did Rav go ahead and make this remiza about the vase if he's in the middle of saying Shema? Lo Kasha. Haber Perek Rishon, Haber Perek Sheni. The Gemara says, it depends where you're holding. When do we say that you can't go ahead and make any eye motions, hand motions, or lip motions? That's in the first paragraph. First paragraph includes Shema Yisrael and Via Hafta. That's when you shouldn't make any motions. However, Beperek Sheni, in the second paragraph, Vayom Shimon on, apparently you just can't speak, but you can make motions. I will say, we don't pass in this way. We pass in that we don't make any motions or anything during the entire Shema. Tanur Abarnas, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, V'dibarta bam, you shall speak in them, bam v'lo b'tfila. You can ultimately, so what is it? Look at Rashi for just a moment. V'lo b'tfila. All right, well, so you know what? We're going to have to stop over here. All right, we have a lot to do in Mirat Hashem for tomorrow, but we'll pick up right here in Mirat Hashem tomorrow.